Well, good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. As we walked in, I noticed that a little chalkboard said that the memory verse for April was John 3:16. I was thinking, wow, this is the first Sunday in May, and I'm preaching on John 3:16. And I have been a minister, a pastor, for over 25 years, and one of the things I have kind of learned being a pastor and just in my walk with the God is that coincidences are not usually coincidences. They're usually, God's usually up to something. And so I didn't know that you had a memory verse for this month, and you didn't know I was going to preach on this, and God did. And so I think he wants us to hear John 3:16. Yeah, doesn't take a genius to figure that one out. So we'll read it and we'll go home. I actually want to read with you, beginning already at John 3, verse 1. If you have Bibles and would like to turn there, otherwise I will read that. John 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen to this. Word from God. There was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "Well, you are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We're just going to stop there. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless your word this morning to us. May we hear what you want us to hear by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name it is that we pray. Amen. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Martin Luther once called this verse the gospel in miniature. In just 26 words, it sums up the gospel. It's just the anthem of our faith. But John 3:16 has a problem. It has an image problem. It suffers from overexposure and poor exposure. For some, John 3:16 is quoted so often that it has lost its power. For others, it's connected to a manipulative form of evangelism. Some people only know this precious verse in the context of a sporting event where some shirtless fanatic has it markered across their belly. We've all seen it behind golfers, on signs, and soccer players. And then there is the sacrilege of professional wrestlers and sports stars and music icons who plaster their own name like Vanderveld 316 on t-shirts and posters. John 3:16 is an image problem. I bet that even when you realized I was focusing on this text this morning, you had some preconceived ideas in your mind about what I might or I might not have to say. Well, let's set all of that that overexposure and that poor exposure to the side and listen to and hear this beautiful anthem of our faith. Context for the verse is Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee who followed his religion very carefully. He's a man who wanted something from life. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're looking for something from life this morning. I mean, we can all use a breath of fresh air in our lives. I don't know what you're facing, but I know that God gives and that God renews life. Maybe it's shame or guilt for you. Maybe it's resentment or bitterness. Maybe it's a bad habit or an addiction. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's some heavy burden that you've been carrying or a secret. Maybe it's in your family or your finances or deep in yourself. Whatever you're facing, God gives and renews life. That's what Jesus is saying here. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I'll tell you a story about an English king whose daughter had a deadly disease. Doctors told the king that he needed to stay away from his daughter, especially away from her face. And under no circumstances was he to breathe his daughter's breath. You see, the disease was so contagious that the king would contract the condition himself and very likely it would kill him. Well, a few days after hearing the warning, the king went to visit his daughter. The young girl began to choke. The king lifted her up in his arms to help her from choking. He held her in his arms and the daughter died. Final words out of her mouth were, "Daddy, would you kiss me?" King knew he would die if he kissed the young girl, but he did it anyways. He loved his daughter and he kissed her. 2 months later, the king was dead. 2,000 years ago, God, our King, came to earth in a human person. He came to this world in love. 33 years later, he was dead, having breathed our air and kissed the face of our humanity. But in that act of love, in giving his own life for us, God did something far, far more really than even the English king did for his daughter. Through Jesus' death, we are healed of our sickness. Through Jesus' death, we do not die. Through Jesus' death, we live out life. That's what we celebrated in the bread and the cup. That is what we rejoiced about a couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday. The kiss killed our God, but it gave us life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Take a moment and set these words into their context. Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus at night. He comes at night, very likely, because he doesn't want anybody to know that he has some serious questions. You see, Nicodemus is a somebody. He's one of the ruling religious leaders. He's a scholar and a teacher. He has attained a certain spiritual status, but he still has his questions. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus ready to ask some questions, but Jesus cuts him off before Nicodemus can even get them out. "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." What? I mean, we've heard that a lot of times, but what? How can a person be born twice? Nobody can climb back into their mother's wombs. That's nonsense. And Jesus goes on to say, well, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Nicodemus is confused. How can that be? And there Jesus unfolds the gospel, both to Nicodemus and to all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amazing love. I find it amazing that God has enough time, energy, interest to love me when he has the whole rest of the world to love. He loves me, little, well, maybe not so little, but insignificant me. And he loves you too. And he loves the person sitting next to you or behind you or in front of you. And the person next to them or behind them or in front of them. God loves each one of us here this morning. He loves everybody in this church, and he loves everybody in all of the other churches, and he loves everybody who doesn't even go to church or want to go to church. He even loves those who do not believe that he exists or those who don't care that he exists. That's what the verse is saying here. God so loved the world. If we wanted to do a whole other sermon, we could see God's love even extending beyond the human race to all that is. Everybody. God loves everyone. God loves both the sinner and the saint. In fact, the sinner is the saint. The saint is the sinner, I mean. The Bible tells us that. We were reminded of it as we read this morning from Psalm 51. No one is righteous, not even one. All sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God loves every one of us, even though we are damaged by sin and deformed by the sinfulness of our world. This is a story from Mary Ann Bird. She says, I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others, a little girl with a misshapen face, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, garbled speech. When schoolmates asked what happened to your lip, I'd tell them I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born this way. I was convinced that no one outside of my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard by name. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we were given a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally it was my turn. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher would say something like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words that God must have put into her mouth. Those seven words that changed my life, Mrs. Leonard said in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. That's what God says to each one of us here this morning. Even though we are damaged and deformed by our sinfulness, I wish you were my son. I wish you were my daughter. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. I don't know why my life is so important that God allowed his son to go to the cross for me. Sure, I have a few things going for me. You have some things going for you too. But the cross? He loves all of us so much that he sent his son to make the ultimate sacrifice, to die, to give us life. Think about it. The Son of God, God in the flesh, the one through whom all things are created, the one who holds all things together, that Son of God made the ultimate sacrifice and died to give us life. I love a lot of people in this world. I know what it is to love. And I know what it is to love someone, to lose someone you love. And knowing these two things, knowing love and knowing loss, and knowing that God gave His Son, the perfect, blameless, pure Son of God, to die for me, it still surprises me when I pause to really think about it. It's hard to comprehend, to grasp, to believe. Maybe another story will help. There's a gem dealer. He was strolling the aisles at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show when he noticed a blue-violet stone the size and shape of a potato. He looked it over, then as calmly as possible asked the vendor, "You want $15 for this?" Seller realized the rock was really not as pretty as the other ones, hadn't been polished yet or shined, lowered the price $10. Stone has since been certified as a 1,905-carat natural star sapphire, about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind, and is appraised for $2.28 million. That is $10 well spent. It took a lover of stone to recognize the sapphire's worth. It takes the lover of a soul, the lover of you, the lover of me, to recognize the value of your worth and of my worth. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Some of the older translations, it says, whosoever. It's not hard for me to believe that God loves the world. It's not. It's not hard for me to believe that God loves people. It's not even hard for me to believe that God loves you people. It's hard for me, however, to believe that God loves me. And why? Well, I know me. I know my hang-ups. I know my faults. I know my sins. I know how I have failed Him, failed to stand up for Him, failed to live up to Him, failed to praise Him in my life. This is exactly why the whoever is in this verse. You see, God loves me because I'm a whoever. So are you. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. I'm a whoever, and so are you. You are whoever's. And we are loved by a God who has given His Son to give us life. And we are called by God to believe. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, one of the problems, maybe not a problem, let's say one of the challenges we face here in John 3:16 is that belief is not defined. It's not really explained. Listen to what James has to say in James chapter 2. He says, "You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." The demons are believers. Did you know that? They believe there is a God. They believe in Jesus. They even believe that He died on the cross and that He rose again. Demons have a good theology. They have the right beliefs. So why are they not saved? Because the demons are not changed at all in their nature. They're not born again, as Jesus says in this verse. With their minds they may believe, but with their hearts they still want the darkness, and so they are enemies of God. You see, when the Bible talks about believing here, it doesn't just mean having the right thoughts in our minds, although that is certainly a part of it, not just a mental affirmation of something being one way or another. You don't just get your head around it, you have to get your heart and your life around it too. It means a life-changing kind of belief that is born by the Spirit of God. Verse 5. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." Let me explain. Before we are believers, we are thirsty. We have unsatisfied longings. We have cravings and yearnings in our hearts. Our souls are parched and dehydrated. Even Nicodemus, a man who had all the right beliefs, who was a ruler in the community, who should have been an authority on religious matters, wondered something. But when we come to believe in Jesus, we become increasingly satisfied because all we need is His love. And coming to believe in Jesus is exactly like a parched person in the desert finding that abundant stream of water that will supply their needs now and forever. You see, this kind of belief is thirst-quenching belief. It's satisfying belief. It is life-changing belief. It is saving belief. It is spiritual belief. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you know all the right things, but you have yet to be satisfied. And to be so, you must be born again by the Spirit. We could read John 3:16 this way. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes, that is, excuse me, whoever's thirst has been quenched in Jesus by the Spirit of God, whoever's life has been spiritually changed in Him, will not perish but will have eternal life. Do you have that kind of belief we're talking about here? Has your conviction about Christ changed more than just your mind but your life too? Are you like the demons who believe all about Jesus but don't really know Him and don't really care to know Him? We talked to you for a moment if you have struggled with this kind of belief, and I think to a certain extent we all probably struggle a bit in some places. You can go to church your whole life and not know Jesus Christ. You can know all about God and not know Him. You can have your head all wrapped around Jesus but not have Him in your heart. I've had the privilege, like Wayne, of studying with some very knowledgeable professors. And in one seminar I took, this man knew more about Jesus than anyone I have ever met, but he didn't know Him. Didn't even care to know. If you struggle with this kind of belief, with heart belief, if you have your questions, talk to one of the leaders in this church. I know they would love to see you grow, see life grow in you. John 3:16 is for you, just as it was for Nicodemus with all his questions so long ago. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. One last story. It's about a revival that was held in a small town. It's a true story. Crowd had dispersed when a woman came down front and asked to speak to the preacher. She cried uncontrollably as she explained to the minister that she wanted to know God, but she felt like she had sinned too much for God to ever forgive her and accept her as her own, as His own. While searching for kind of a way to help her with the grief, the preacher asked her, "Is there a verse from Scripture that you might know?" She responded, "Yes, she did remember one. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only forgotten son." The preacher was struck by her misstatement of that verse, so he added, "Do you know why God forgot his son? He forgot his son so that he could remember you." How many of you are feeling a little forgotten this morning? Life in our world runs at such a frantic pace. Demands are all around us. We have home and school, kids, parents, and friends. We have work, we have our ailments, our hurts, our pains, our sorrows, our regrets, our sins, our politics. Sometimes it all kind of crowds together into a big mass. You're feeling a bit forgotten this morning? Good news of the gospel is that not one of us is forgotten. Each of us is remembered by God's great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this single verse, this anthem of our faith. Protect us, Lord, from it ever becoming too familiar. May we hear the words in our hearts over and over again as you assure us of life. Life that begins this day. Life that follows us throughout our days. And life that is with us for all eternity. Lord, help us to transform what we know in our minds to what we live out in our lives, so that what we believe is in our head, in our heart, and in our actions too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.